Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our just a great Monday show continues. I feel a little bit like Dave Letterman this hour. My next guest needs no introduction. And for most of our listeners, he really doesn't need an introduction ever since he made the TV series Catholicism that aired on PBS and subsequently has been shown in virtually every church hall in the English-speaking world. Now's the time to get the kids together because our guest this hour, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, founder of Word on Fire, and probably the best spokesman for the Catholic faith in the internet age, Bishop Robert Barron. I'm so happy to welcome you again to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here.
Si, thank you. Always good to be on with you.
You have a brand new book out, Renewing Our Hope, Essays in the New Evangelization. I am in the midst of reading it now. And I'm coming across names like Schleiermacher and Nietzsche and Tillich and Rahner and Lonergan and von Balthasar. And I'm thinking to myself, this is grown-up stuff. It's not dry or difficult reading. But I feel like you're treating me like an adult, like a grown-up. And maybe that's part of the point of the book, is that we need to have these, be able to speak as adults about our faith.
Yeah, you know, because I was trained as an academic and I taught for many years and did that sort of writing. And then I went off into, you know, evangelization and more popular forms of communication as well. And I think that's much needed and very important. But I always want to keep my hand in the game academically. So Pretty much every year, I agree to give, you know, one or two major lectures or speeches in a more academic setting. So this book represents, it's a collection of these over the past maybe 5 years, roughly since I've been made a bishop. But yes, I think we need, as I've been for years decrying a dumbed-down Catholicism, and we need to engage the academy as well as to engage the more popular world. So I've tried to do both, you know, in the limited time I have, but this book represents a much more academic effort.
Yeah, as I said, it's not dry or difficult to read, but I just felt like a grown-up reading it. Particularly the chapter on von Balthasar, it seemed to me that you're arguing in there for a kind of thinking about the church and thinking about what we're doing as Catholics, as Christian people, that is not just accommodating itself to the world and trying to, you know, find that explanation of the faith that will somehow convince the world, but one that just arises out of the person of Christ and says, who is this and what is this about? And it seems so exciting.
Yeah, and that essay, they asked me to write that for a book that has that same title. They asked a number of scholars, how did Balthasar change your mind? Oh. And for me, that was a really good exercise because I was formed very much, for want of a better term now, in a very liberal Catholicism style, which means beginning very much with your experience, now reading the doctrine of the church in light of your experience. Now, the deepest roots of that, and you mentioned some of those names, on the Catholic side, people like Karl Rahner, on the Protestant side, Paul Tillich. Go back behind both of them to the 19th century, Friedrich Schleiermacher, who's the founder of modern liberal Protestantism. That style became very prominent within Catholicism in the years after the Council, exactly when I was coming of age. So I would have taken in that theology very much. And by the way, it came into preaching quite a bit. Most preachers were formed in that style of thinking. Let's relate it immediately to people's spiritual experience. Well, what Balthasar did for me when I finally got around to reading him was, it was a kind of Copernican revolution. He was saying, I get it. I read all those people. I understand the experiential approach. But Jesus, the object of our contemplation, is so much more interesting and strange and unnerving than whatever we can take in through our kind of ordinary spiritual frame of reference. And so he shifts the focus from subjectivity to the objectivity of the form, is how he'd put it. But see, he's a Catholic, so the form is displayed liturgically, the form is displayed sacramentally, and the form is displayed in the lives of the saints. When you look at a Maximilian Kolbe, well, I don't care how spiritually alert you are, there's something about him that just knocks you down,
yeah.
Knocks you over. It makes you think differently. And all the saints have that quality. Well, I began reading Balthasar seriously when I was a doctoral student in Paris many years ago. And I still vividly recall that experience of something new unfolding. And then my thesis director was a great man, still alive, called Michel Corbin, Jesuit scholar of Anselm and Aquinas. And he was a great Balthazar man. And so in the seminars with him in my doctoral studies, I was taking this in more and more. Then when I got back to teach in Chicago, I just offered a course in von Balthazar to sort of compel myself to read him really carefully. And anyone that's attentive to Balthazar and then starts looking at my work over the years over both academically and at a popular level, they're going to see Balthazar everywhere in it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was an important little article for me to write.
It strikes me that Balthazar is following after Romano Guardini, and so does Cardinal Ratzinger, later Pope Benedict, and the yeah. seminal work there being the Lord, and this idea yeah. that stop kind of thinking, I have all these questions, and I'm so interesting, and what can the Bible throw at me? But start looking at the person of the Lord, and then everything is transformed.
Yeah, you know, I've used the comparison to Tolkien. So Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings has to draw you into the world that he's created. And so the first part of The Lord of the Rings is an introduction to this strange, differently textured universe. And once you're in it, then you can be drawn into the story. Well, the Bible's like that, isn't it? If yeah. I try to now explain the Bible on my terms, I'll make it accessible to my frame of reference. Well, okay, but what that does is it renders pedestrian the Bible. And the real glory of that story is then, you know, rendered rather dull. Now, I would say, welcome to most of the preaching from the 1970s and 1980s.
My life.
Well, where I came of age at that time, you know, and,
right.
but it was sort of a flattening out, like, here's the biblical reading. Well, let's not spend too much time with that. Let me tell you about my vacation, and I'll draw some little connection to,
yeah.
rather than, go back to, this is Origen, Augustine, Chrysostom, Aquinas, coming right up through Newman and into the 20th century. The great preachers whom we reverence and whose sermons we remember didn't preach the way I was trained to preach. They preached in a deeply biblical way and drew you into that strange world. So yeah. that's kind of a Balthazarian shift.
Yeah. And then towards the end of the book, oh, by the way, the book is Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization from Bishop Robert Barron. And you can get it wherever good books are sold, but you can check out Word on Fire, of course, for all of Bishop's works and productions. Do you prefer working in print, or do you like making films? Like you've been proficient.
I like doing both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like doing both. I was trained, you know, I'm old school. So I was trained with, you know, books and pieces of paper and words.
Yeah.
You know, so I do like that world. I've wrecked my eyes. I've read so much, you know.
Yeah.
But I also enjoy making the films. I didn't know that much about it to begin with, but kind of learned as I went. I'm surrounded by wonderful people that know that world much better than I. But I totally get the power of it.
Yeah.
And as I say, a lot of what I talk about in articles and books, you see manifest in the films. Yeah. And even like in the YouTube commentaries and all that, you'll see it in a more vivid presentation there.
You can really, the series Catholicism really just, it had so much power that I think that people started to see, oh, there is a real power in getting the images and the sound and the yeah. sights and the words all coordinated together. There's just a tremendous power to that. And I noticed towards the end of the book here, you talk about quite a few films, including The Great Babette's yeah. Feast. Part of your thing, I mean, I guess if I had to say the Bishop Barron thing, part of it is you really believe in beauty as a tool of evangelization, yeah. as a tool of humanizing the world.
Absolutely. And I've said for many years, you got the three great transcendentals, right? You have the true, the good, and the beautiful. And all three are valuable. All three lead to God, who's truth itself, goodness itself, beauty itself. But today, the beautiful is probably more winsome for most people because yeah. our postmodern world is so skeptical of claims to truth and claims to goodness. You know, who are you to tell me what to think or how to behave? But the beautiful, I think, is less threatening. You just show something. Look at this. I'm not telling you what to think or how to behave,
yeah.
but look at this. And the wager is, and I see it paying off all the time, that wager, is it will lead people to God. And I've often compared it, Cy, to the Brideshead Revisited, that one, maybe the greatest Catholic novel of the 20th century, which begins with a kind of a cool skeptical rationalist, you know, Charles Ryder, who's the narrator. And what first draws him into Brideshead, this great manor house, but Brideshead is evocative of the church. What first draws him in is the beauty of the place. He's an artist, and it's the beauty mm-hmm. draws him in. And then as the novel unfolds, he begins to see the moral demand of the place. And then finally, at the very end, he comes to accept the truth of it, you know? And I think that's Balthazar, by the way, is it's better to begin with the beautiful, then go to the good, and then finally come to the true. And I've always felt just instinctually that's the right way to do it.
Bishop Robert Barron is our guest. I realize I'm making you wait, callers, but we are going to get to you shortly here. The brand new book is Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. I can highly recommend it to you. It's engaging. Well, it's Bishop Barron. You know, it engages the intellect very, very well, but in a way that is accessible to those of us who need things to be accessible, and I'm one of those. Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. The Word on Fire Ministries that Bishop Barron is the founder of has a Bible out, the Word on Fire Bible. It's groundbreaking. It introduces readers who might not otherwise expose themselves to the Bible or might have difficulty doing so by adding all kinds of surrounding kind of the biblical text with commentary, explanations from church fathers, many of the great saints, mystic scholars throughout Christian history, and some from Bishop Barron himself. The Word on Fire Bible, I heard I don't know if this is true, but I heard you printed a whole bunch of them and then they just sold out. But they got more. And we want you to get it. So we've got it now at a very special price at shop.catholic.com. We know you can get it wherever good Catholic books are sold, but take a look over at shop.catholic.com. See if you like the deal there. But more than anything, get yourself, especially if you got that young person who's like, I don't even know how to crack open a Bible. Give them the Word on Fire Bible. They'll figure it out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right
back.
Oh, go ahead, Bishop.
No, that's why we made it, really, was for that audience in mind, people that would normally just be put off by a regular Bible. This is meant to draw them in with their senses and their imagination.
It's a foreign world to us. We do need help getting into it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right back with your questions for Bishop Robert Barron.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The world over with Raymond Arroyo. Coverage as seen through a Catholic lens.
All people of faith and sincerity need to awaken to this and protect this fundamental right of religious liberty.
Expert analysis.
Does revelation judge history, or does history judge revelation?
Stories vital to people of faith.
It's part of our faith that comedy and tragedy naturally go hand in hand.
Delivered to your inbox every week. Sign up today. Go to EWTN.com/worldover.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are always so happy when Bishop Robert Barron is here. I don't know if you know this about Catholic Answers, but we're a communication ministry, and we try to be everywhere in every medium communicating the truth about Jesus Christ and his church. And then you got a guy like Bishop Robert Barron who does it better than anybody and is just powerfully effective. And it's exciting to get to talk with him. He's got a brand new book, Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. Bishop, there's a lot of people who want to talk to you. You all right going to the phones?
Good. Yeah, great.
You're not scared? All right.
Let's do it.
All right. William in Georgetown watching on YouTube. You are up first, William. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Robert Barron.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My question is, how can us Catholics spark a revival for the Catholic Church in America and other places around the world?
Great. Thank you for that question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I go right back to Vatican II. You know, the universal call to holiness means that the laity are called upon to make holy their realm, which is the secular realm, by being great Catholic politicians, great Catholic lawyers, great Catholic writers, great Catholic business leaders, great Catholic teachers, great Catholic parents, great Catholic coaches and athletes, great Catholic entertainers. So what I would say is that's the role of the laity, is to invade those spaces nonviolently and not you know, oppressively, but be holy in those places and sanctify them by your own presence, your own work, your own witness. I always see if Catholics are kind of waiting around for the bishops to get it together and, you know, give us the program. Well, Vatican II gave us the program. Bishops are here, bishops and priests, to teach and to sanctify and to send the laity into the world. So I say go. The Catholic revival starts with you and with your sanctification of the space that you find yourself in.
William, I'm so glad to have that question. Thank you for starting us off there. I thought the answer was going to be get in Twitter fights, but no, apparently that's not that.
Yeah, well, that's really helpful. The worst place in our culture right now, it seems to me, are those spaces.
Oh, I enjoy getting abused on Twitter.
In our culture. Just terrible.
I know, and it does seem that people are finally starting to get a little sense of frustration at the social media.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But we like things that are not bad for us. You may have encountered this as a priest, but that's one of the things we human beings do. We like things that are not
bad. It's like everything else, it's good and bad. I mean, thank God for the social media. We both use it.
Right.
But then it gets abused in this weird way, you know.
Yeah. How many followers do you have on Twitter? I just want to compare to how many I have. I think I have 87.
I don't remember.
More than 87 or less than 87? Because I think I have 87. Bishop Robert Barron is our guest, one of the greats, someone that we are just absolutely love to be associated with. We're very grateful that he takes the time to be here with us. Let's see. Let's go to Lawton in Tampa, Florida, listening on Catholic Ants. He must be on the website. Let's hang on, Lawton. I got to push the right button. Go ahead, Lawton. Go ahead, your question for Bishop Barron.
I first want to thank you for your work on my theological journey and all the help it's done. My question is, how do we evangelize those who are so angry over the sex abuse crisis?
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, that's why I wrote that little book, was it last year or 2 years ago, Letter to a Suffering Church. I mean, I get it. I referred to the sex abuse scandal as the devil's masterpiece, which has undermined our church in every possible way, including evangelization. And every single day on my social media and other places, I run into people who are understandably, you know, and justifiably angry about it. What I tried to do in that book was, first of all, fully to acknowledge the reality of this. And how can I not? I mean, I see it every single day. But also to remind people that there's such a beautiful substance of the church that remains in place, despite the sins of its members. And that's always been true from the time of St. Paul to today. And to look at the sacraments and look at the Eucharist and look at the saints and look at the authority of the bishops and the Pope, look at the Mass, you know. And those are the reasons why we say and why we fight for the church. So I would, you know, without trying to brush things under the carpet, I would really emphasize these permanently valuable and beautiful features of the church's life. We still have the words of everlasting life, not because they're our words, they're Christ's words. And Lord, to whom shall we go? You know, so think of St. Peter there saying that, knowing full well his own weakness, knowing full well the weakness of everybody around him. And, well, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of everlasting life. And the faith of the church is that those words are still echoing within the life of the church, especially in those words of consecration that make him really, truly, and substantially present in the Eucharist. So those are the reason we evangelize, and that's, I think, our inspiration for evangelizing even during this rough season.
Lawton, is that acceptable to you? What do you think?
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Appreciate your question. Bishop Robert Barron is our guest. The new book from Bishop Barron, Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. I am enjoying reading them myself right now. And they come in, from quite substantial philosophy and theology all the way to stuff that I can read comfortably. As I said, that last essay on movies, it's just great. It's just a great, I mean, I suppose there's a certain way in which many people just want to be at war with the culture. And then but that's not really a strategy for us, is it?
No, and that's, you know, my mentor, Cardinal George's great line I always come back to is you can't evangelize a culture you don't love. If you're just in an attitude of antipathy toward the culture, and God knows there are things in the culture that we need to be against, that's no question. But unless you love the culture in some way, you can't evangelize it. So from the very beginning, I started looking at films because so many people find not just entertainment, but they're looking for meaning from films. And so I use the strategy of, well, what can I find in a film that is resonant of the gospel, you know, that echoes with themes from the gospel? And as I remember in that essay, I do some Christ figures, right, from like Shawshank Redemption and from Gran Torino, one of my favorite films of recent years. But they're filled with the gospel. Those films are unthinkable apart from Christ. Yeah.
Right.
And so why not, you know, point that out?
Let's go to Eleanor in Notre Dame, Indiana, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Hang on there, Eleanor. Let me get the right number. There, Eleanor, go ahead with your question for Bishop Robert Barron.
Hi, Bishop Barron. Thank you for taking my call. It's a real honor to talk to you.
Thanks.
My question is, so I've heard that throughout history, when the church goes through rough periods, like that is the time where a great saint comes about. So my question is, would you say that would be something the church is going through now, where there's going to be a saint, or is it not that bad? Do you know what I mean?
No,
I think
I'm with you. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I remember, I'll quote Cardinal George again. I remember one time around the table with him, he said, where are the movements? Where are the saints? Because he was instinctually feeling what you just talked about, that it's precisely in times of crisis. Think of when the Benedictine movement emerges as the Roman civilization is collapsing. Think of the Dominican and Franciscan movements when the church is going through time of great corruption. Think of the Jesuits emerging in the time of the Reformation. Think of like the Cardinal George's own order, the OMIs. Think of the CSCs who were there at Notre Dame where you are. They emerged after the French Revolution when there was a great cultural crisis in Europe. So yes, the crisis of our time, it's two things. One is the crisis of the nuns, right? The unaffiliated, those who are claiming no religion, the secularism, but also the crisis interior to the church of the scandals. And so yes, this is the time. And I'd put that call out to all Catholics. This is your moment. How is the Spirit stirring you? Where are the charisms being stirred up? You know, and there are signs of life and signs of hope. And so don't just despair. I think you can see the Spirit operating. I mean, the very fact that in the wake of the new atheist movement, I think, remember, this goes back about 20 years when the new atheists were just pummeling religion. Well, what emerged from that is so many, yours is a good example of it, expressions of apologetics and evangelization and a smart engagement of the church's issues. That emerged as a response to it, you know? So in a similar way, I think in the crisis of secularization and the crisis of our own scandals, yeah, this is the time for the saints. So get going, saints.
Eleanor, okay?
Yes, thank you, Bishop Barron, and I'm praying for you.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
It does. Bishop, maybe you have the same experience I have, but when you get to go out and give talks places and visit different parishes, there you really do run into saintly people. Like, and you come back kind of feeling like, it's okay. God's got this. He's got saints all over the place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, all my priesthood, I've sensed that. And, you know, that's the whole point of the priesthood. I had the privilege a couple of days ago. It's rare for an auxiliary bishop. I was able to ordain a man in the priesthood. And that's what I told them. I said, you know, the whole purpose of the priesthood is to serve the baptized.
Yeah.
And when you lose that link between holy orders and baptism, you have what Pope Francis calls clericalism.
Yeah.
But the whole point of the priesthood is to empower and...
We got to take a quick break. Sorry, Bishop. Bishop Robert Barron, our guest, Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization, is his new book. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Bishop Barron right after this.
Mm-hmm.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I love Mondays. I love coming in here on Mondays and getting to go back on the air. It's always exciting to come back. But when you get a guest like Bishop Robert Barron, that's a pretty good Monday. Bishop Barron has a brand new book, Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. Also, Word on Fire, his ministry has the Word on Fire Bible, which is just going gangbusters, and I'm glad it is because it's one of those – it's surrounded with – The Bible, the books of the Bible themselves are surrounded with materials that can help you crack open that Bible, which is what it's there for. And so we're delighted to welcome Bishop Robert Barron as our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. As you might imagine, the lines are very busy today, but we'll do our very best to get you on with the bishop. And up next, we go to Atchison, Kansas. Listening on the Catholic Answers Live app is Joe. Joe, thank you for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Robert Barron.
Hi, Bishop. You know, I'm a senior here at Trinity College, and I actually am originally from the Mundelein area of Illinois.
No kidding.
Marytown is one of my favorite places. Yeah, Marytown is one of my favorite places on earth. And I've been a fan of yours. I'm an aspiring Catholic Bible scholar, too. I'm trying to eventually go get my PhD, and my question for you is, where do you see the church going in the future with the threat of like communism and progressivism being so fueled with people my age?
I think I heard it right. You said the threat of communism and like progressivism being so popular with younger people. You know, I did a video a couple weeks ago on some of the philosophical sources of what I think we're seeing today in the culture. And I put my finger on Marx and Nietzsche and Sartre and Foucault as people that have really shaped the contemporary conversation. And I think that's unhappy, you know. Wrote another article a little bit later about the social protests in the 60s that were often led by religious people, most famously Martin Luther King. There was a congruence between, you know, the protest for justice and the great religious tradition. And what I was sort of noticing and bemoaning a bit was the lack of religious connection to much what's going on today, because it's born of different assumptions. So that does concern me. And I think those of us who kind of saw the end of much of communism anyway, and certainly knew the stories of how brutally oppressive it is, are little charmed, you know, by attempts to go back to it. So I share that concern. And then the kind of woke progressivism, I'm not a fan of that. Give me classical liberalism any day over that. I think that's a much better conversation partner with the church. I would say people like you have got to be very active in turning the tide. In other words, to bring the biblical vision, and that's ultimately what we're talking about. When you mentioned Catholicism, you're saying it's a vision that comes up finally out of the Bible. And that's a very distinctive vision. It has to do with God, with anthropology, with society, with how we relate to each other. And that has got to be the narrative that comes to predominate. We have to out-narrate them, as the scholars say sometimes, you know, make that narrative more compelling to people than these counter-narratives coming up out of the woke tradition. So anyway, that's a rambling answer, but I'd come back to people like you and your age to keep, you know, out-narrating the opposition and keep proposing the Catholic and biblical thing with panache and with confidence.
Okay, Joe?
Amen to that. Thank you, Bishop. This was a truly honor to for you to take my call. I appreciate this.
God bless you. Thanks.
Me too, right, Joe? Oh, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Joe. I'm only playing with you. let's see who we got next. Bishop Robert Barron is our guest. We're delighted to have him. Let's go to Edmonds, Washington, listening on the Catholic Answers Live podcast is Wes. Wes, your question, please, for our guest, Bishop Robert Barron.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. And my question is, I guess, in relation to the renewal of hope for the new evangelization is, what role does the traditional rite play in that? There's a tremendous growth, it seems to be, in the Latin Mass, right, especially in these times. And what role do you see that in regards to the new evangelization and the growth of the church?
Okay, Wes, thank you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. In both Chicago, where I'm from, and now out in the L.A. area, there's a vibrant, not huge, but I'd say a vibrant community of people that love the traditional Latin Mass. And it's allowed here. It was allowed in Chicago, many other places. And I'd say, great, great. If that appeals to people, it appeals to their aesthetic imagination, their spiritual yearnings, terrific. So, you know, as far as it goes, I'd say, great. I'm somewhat resistant to those that seem to indicate sometimes like that's the answer, just more of the Latin Mass and the kids will come rushing back. I don't think that's true, but I'm delighted that it's there, that it's on offer, and that some people are finding it very compelling, and especially among the young. Great, great. I love Latin. I started studying Latin when I was 13 at Fenwick High School with Father Wren, who was a legendary Latin teacher. I've been reading Latin all my life because all my academic work has been in Thomas Aquinas. So I've read him in Latin for years. I have a Latin breviary that when I'm in my house, I typically pray evening prayer and night prayer with the Latin breviary. I love Latin, you know. Now, I wasn't brought up with the Latin Mass. My generation wasn't, so I just don't know it, you know. But in the measure that it helps some people find their way to Christ and to a vibrant spiritual life, great.
Thanks. I really appreciate the call, Wes, and the question. We're going to keep moving because there are lots and lots of folks who, as you might imagine, to speak with Bishop Robert Barron. Let's go to Jake in Queen Creek, Arizona, watching on YouTube. Hi, Jake.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
You sound great, Jake. Yeah. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Well, actually, I haven't actually had a chance to read your book yet, Bishop Robert Barron, but on the topic of renewing the church, personally, I've mentioned this the last time I called. I've identified as a Protestant for a long time, but right now I'm standing right at the threshold of the church. But I've been in school over the past year or so in biblical studies at Grand Canyon University. And I guess a question on the topic of my education as well as my community and for the church as a whole, would it be more beneficial as a Catholic to continue to get a biblical education at this mostly Protestant university or to look for a different type of university for the sake of getting a more Catholic biblical education?
Yeah, I'd have to know you better probably to give you a really good answer to that. I'm somewhat reluctant, you know, just to give an answer at a distance like this. I've known some very fine people who've gotten degrees from Protestant institutions, especially in Bible, and then have gone on to become really powerful Catholic, you know, preachers and teachers and writers. You know, I guess my instinct, if I was gathering right, you're not a Catholic yet. You're sort of on the verge of becoming a Catholic, or you're intrigued by it. You know, if you're finding life there and you're driving a lot of, you know, good insight and wisdom, maybe finish your degree and then make your way to the church. if you're already you're about to enter the church, I might say, no, let's sign you up at a Catholic institution. So I don't know you well enough. I'd have to get to know you a bit better and know your exact situation. You know, Cardinal George used to say that the Catholic Church has all the gifts that Christ wants his people to have. That's why it's the fullness of the ecclesial life. But it doesn't mean, he said, that other Christian communities might not exercise certain of the gifts better than we typically do. You know, his point there was sometimes you'll find some outstanding preaching and outstanding biblical exegesis in Protestant settings. Heck, I've benefited enormously from Protestant thinkers. Think of a Karl Barth, whom I referenced. So anyway, that's my rambling answer to there's great value, I think, even within a Protestant framework to learn certain dimensions, let's say, of the Bible. Ultimately, sure, I'd love to see you within a Catholic intellectual framework.
Jake, I hope that's helpful to you. If I could just say a name, and Bishop Barron can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but Dr. Michael Barber over at the Augustine Institute does a lot of blogging on the Bible, and he went to a Protestant university. He's a Catholic scholar, probably one of the great Catholic scholars on the Bible. Associate yourself, whatever your decision is, Jake, with Dr. Michael Barber a little bit. Just look into who he is. And
he's good.
Yeah, read some of his blog posts. And I know some of his blog posts are over at a little place called wordonfire.org, so you can find him there. Thanks, Jake, and God bless you, brother, as you make the decisions that are going to be formative for you here. We better take a break, actually. I want to mention the Word on Fire Bible again before we take a break. And I am going to go, callers, don't go anywhere. I'm going to let you talk with Bishop Barron as soon as we come back. But the Word on Fire Bible, designed for the person who might be intimidated or anxious about opening up that Bible and digging in, it illuminates the biblical texts in light of the entire Christian tradition with all kinds of helps there for you. You can get it right now at shop.catholic.com because we've got Bishop Barron on as our guest. We've got a special price for you over at shop.catholic.com. The Word on Fire Bible.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's Street Evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The prayers of the elderly are powerful. Why? Because you learn in old age to depend upon God. There's no one else. Because you are still made to the image and likeness of God, no matter how old you are. You're valuable to God. Don't let anybody tell you you're not.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Enjoying our Monday, Bishop Robert Barron, our guest. Bishop Robert Barron, the maker of the Catholicism series, and then subsequent. You did, what's the one that follows? It's like the great figures of Catholicism. Did I get it right?
The Pivotal Players.
Pivotal Players.
We just finished that. So the 12 of them now are out.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of that series too.
Is Teresa of Avila one of them? I think I remembered.
No, because I featured her very strongly in the first series.
That's where I saw
it's a whole slew of people from Augustine to Aquinas to Michelangelo to Chesterton to Flannery O'Connor, Fulton Sheen, all kinds of people.
Flannery O'Connor made the list. Very good.
The
Pivotal Players. All right. Bishop Robert Barron's newest book is called Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. There are lots of folks on the line. So we go back to callers now. Kevin in Lexington, Kentucky, watching on YouTube. Glad to have you with us, Kevin. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Robert Barron.
Hi, Bishop Barron. Thank you for having me on. Big honor to speak with you. Big fan.
Thanks.
So I guess my question is this. As a ex-Catholic non-believer myself, I fully admit that the truth value of a claim doesn't have anything to do with how depressing that claim might be. But when something is hopeless, it kind of seems far less attractive, and it might persuade someone to look to, you know, another option. I used to be a rad trad Catholic, and the rad trads, I think, have a rather depressing, hopeless stance. Just in general, that might just be their disposition. So I guess my question to you is, do you think that there's anything that particularly the kind of the rad trads can do to be more hopeful, or is there really any reason that I should, I don't know, take another look?
Well, what I would do is take a good hard look at Vatican II. I take my bearings from the Second Vatican Council, from the Catechism of 1992, the great magisterium of John Paul II and Benedict and now Francis, that are coming right up out of the inspiration of Vatican II and following its trajectory. And I tend to read, you know, both extreme left and extreme right kind of splitting off from that consensus. So that's where I am. I'm with the, if you want to put it in more theological terms, I'm with the Ressourcement, Nouvelle Théologie, Balthazar de Lubac, Danielu, Wojtyła, Ratzinger. That's the tradition that I identify with. And I would say, you know, my own answer to people on both the hard left and hard right, I would revisit that great tradition represented best by my great hero, John Paul II. That's where I come from. And I would look at that long and hard.
Kevin, thank you. I appreciate the question. I'm going to keep moving because I'm realizing we're getting close to the end here, and I do have a bunch of folks waiting on the line, but we appreciate your question. Bishop Robert Barron, our guest, his new book is Renewing Our Hope. 888-318-7884 is our number. Let's go to Flint, Michigan. We're watching on Facebook Live is Sawyer. Sawyer, thanks so much for joining us. Your question for Bishop Robert Barron.
Hi, Bishop Barron. Just have a quick question. I read an article recently that talked about how religiosity tends to increase after pandemics, and that the COVID-19 pandemic is making people more religious. And I was just wondering if you saw this kind of pattern playing out in your travels. And then secondarily, recently I really revamped my faith through apologetics. You know, you and William Lane Craig and others have been great in kind of directing where I go to look for information. And I was just curious as to what you think the next step for apologetics will be.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Your first observation is interesting. I think that's probably right, that often during times of cultural crisis, you know, people have what the theologians call limit experiences. They come up kind of against the limits of life. And that's when you tend to look across that limit into the alluring abyss that we call God, you know? So there's a lot of truth to that. And that's a good question. I don't really know, honestly. I've not been looking at statistics about that. We're probably too close to it. Has COVID led? Of course, people can't come back to church in the same numbers, you know? So it's a good question. I don't really know. I'm glad about apologetics. And, you know, I enjoyed, it's now almost 2 years ago, I had a session with William Lane Craig that I very much enjoyed. We exchanged academic papers in the afternoon, and we kind of fought about that, about God's simplicity. But then in the evening, we had an open session that was more of a Q&A and, you know, dialogue. And I enjoyed it very much. And I give Craig a lot of credit. I mean, I think he, at a crisis moment when the new atheists were just pummeling religion, you know, he stepped into the breach there. So I give him a lot of credit, you know. Where's it going next? I do think a new apologetics is still very much a desideratum. That's a fancy way of saying something we need, you know. And so where's it going next? I don't know. It's the dialogue with the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S. Mm-hmm. When I was on Reddit AMA, you know about that, the Ask Me Anything, when you just open yourself and tens of thousands of people engage me. Not because they know who I am, but I just said, hey, I'm a bishop. I love talking to atheists and non-believers. And with that, 10,000. Number one question by far, how do you know there's a God? So that's an apologetics question, you know? So don't believe people that say, oh, apologetics, no one's interested in that. Yes, they are. They're intensely interested in it, seems to me. And so we need work in that area of proving again to people that God exists, talking about the fundamentals. So I'm all for apologetics.
Sawyer, thanks very much. Appreciate the call. I got to keep moving. Get as many as I can on here with Bishop Robert Barron, whose new book is out now, Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. Let's go to Max in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on 102.7 FM. That's our friends at Spirit Catholic Radio. Max.
Yeah, I know them. Yeah.
Oh, you know Spirit Catholic Radio? They're good.
I sure do. I was, yeah.
Well, you know what? I say they're good, but I hardly know anybody who has they've quit their jobs or they've gone out and raised money when they've never done it before to start some Catholic radio station. These are the people that are revolutionizing the world. I mean, yeah. Bishop right. Robert Barron can talk all he wants, but if there's nobody there to broadcast that, it really is. To me, it's one of the great signs of the work of the Holy Spirit in our time has been the flowering of Catholic radio.
I agree, yeah.
So let's go to our caller from Spirit Catholic Radio. Once again, that is Max in Omaha, Nebraska. Max, go ahead with your question for Bishop Robert Barron.
Hi, Bishop Barron. Thank you for the work you do, your Catholicism series. It's been really helpful. I'm really inspired by many of the things you say, especially on culture and art. It's been really, really good. So my question is, if we have friends that are far away from the faith, like a Ben Shapiro or a Dave Rubin, and they want to know about the faith, but they, you know, they're told, hey, just go through the, you know, Catholicism is the privileged way; it's not the only way. How do we evangelize them properly if we can't give them the hope of the Catholic faith?
Listen to the entire answer I gave to Ben Shapiro, where I'm teaching Lumen Gentium 16. So Vatican II clearly teaches that one outside the official, you know, limits of the Catholic Church can be saved. Not will be, not that I know it, not that we don't have to evangelize. Listen to the whole answer I gave Ben Shapiro, where I talked a lot about how his Judaism leads very naturally toward Catholicism as the fulfillment of it. So don't take one word. Take the whole answer I gave him, which is simply Lumen Gentium 16. I'm staying with Vatican II's view there. A non-Catholic can be saved. That's the teaching of the church. Now, it doesn't mean we give up on evangelization or that, oh, I'm not going to worry about it. Of course, everyone's saved. No, no, not at all. But his direct question to me was, well, so there's no hope for me, huh? It's just no hope. Well, no, that's not the teaching of the Catholic Church. So that's what I said to Ben Shapiro.
Thanks, Max. I do appreciate your question. I don't understand why people won't tell us what their real question is today. It's not a respectable way to speak to somebody, especially, I mean, you have a bishop who has brought just thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of people closer to Christ. And just at least tell us what the question is that you're going to ask him. Ben Shapiro couldn't take it anymore. You know, he left California. He's not our fellow Californian anymore.
That's right.
Let's go to Steubenville, Ohio. I know what you have there in Steubenville, Ohio. I always know what you people are doing there. Let's see. Will, watching on YouTube in Steubenville, Ohio. Your question for Bishop Robert Barron.
Hey, Bishop Barron. This is so exciting for me to ask you a question. I'm actually so grateful for you because I came back to the faith, reverted to Catholicism through your ministry. So I'm just a fruit of the word on fire, and I can't be more grateful.
Beautiful.
And now I'm sitting here at Franciscan University, just started my master's here in theology.
Nice.
And so my question for you is, Paul says in First Corinthians 2, like, that he doesn't come with eloquence or human wisdom when he preaches the gospel. But it seems to me there's so many gifted evangelists like you, Dr. Hahn, many others that have such eloquence and just share the faith in such a beautiful way. And I wanted to ask you, how can we do that? How can we work on our oratory skills and to work on our storytelling in how we are poetic in our speech and how we share the gospel?
Yeah, good, good. I mean, I'd say immerse yourself in the great tradition. People ask me all the time about, you know, using social media and what do I do to get more involved in this. And I always say, especially with younger people, read, 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 and read. In other words, you got to have something to say before you use the social media to say it. And so get immersed in the great intellectual tradition. But I like your instinct, too, is get immersed in the artistic tradition and the rhetorical tradition. I mean, I spent a lot of years studying this stuff when I was a student, a doctoral student, and then eventually a teacher. So I spent years in, you know, classrooms at Mundelein Seminary teaching this stuff. And I taught a course years ago called The Christology of the Poets and Preachers. So having studied the formal teaching about Jesus, you know, nature and person and all this, I wanted them to read like the sermons of Origen and Augustine, to read Bernard on the Song of Songs, to read Chesterton, to read, you know, the great preachers and the poets, Dante, I had them read. So get immersed in that too. Read Paul. Of course, you know, Paul is being a little, you might say, falsely modest there. Talk about someone who had plenty of eloquence, you know, knew how to use, you know, the traditions of Greek rhetoric and all of that. I mean, Paul was no slouch. And so, you know, oh, here I have a little, you know, simple language. Well, that's not true, of course. So begin with him and then go right through the whole tradition. And wonderful. Now you're at Steubenville, a great place, studying for your master's. Here's your moment, you know, use it. I always go back, you know, this is 30 years ago, I guess now, when I was a student in Paris. No one knew who I was. I lived in a little tiny room at the Redemptor's house on the Boulevard Montparnasse. And I was sitting like in my blue jeans and stocking feet and my feet up on this kind of big suitcase thing that I brought over from the States. And I was reading. And it was usually raining in Paris. And I was reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. And that's how I'm able to do some of the things I can do now.
The formation. This is something we Catholics are supposed to be really good at, the formation. I wonder if we're as good at it as we used to be.
Yeah.
Will, thanks. I appreciate your call. Bishop Robert Barron is our guest. Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization is the new book. And he discusses so many of the things that we have discussed here on the show, but many others and in great depth that we wouldn't be able to cover on the show. I hope you will get the book. I want to come back around to where we started. Really, it's all about communicating the person of Jesus Christ. We really don't have anything else.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's the heart of the matter. And coming to know him and letting him know us, maybe even more importantly, letting Christ reconfigure us. Let Christ make us ask different questions. You know, so if I just lead with my questions all the time, then he's going to start corresponding to what I need or am interested in. Rather, let him ask and answer his own questions in us, might be a way to put it. That's what happened to the apostles, I think, as they spend time with him, is they began to ask questions they never dreamed possible, you know?
Right.
They saw something they never thought was even vaguely imaginable. And that's the great good news, this still explosive good news of Christianity.
Praise God, and thank God for bishops like you, Bishop Robert Barron. May we have your blessing before we go?
You may. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon all of you and remain with you forever and ever.
Amen. Bishop, we're always so grateful when you take the time with us.
And, I always enjoy it.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, you busy tomorrow?
I'll be back.
Well, actually,
no, I'll be back. I enjoy it.
Very good. And keep up the good work. We got lots of friends over there at Word on Fire. You can find them at wordonfire.org, where you can find the new book, Renewing Our Hope, Essays for the New Evangelization. You can find out about the Bible you're going to get for your whole family for this Christmas. It's called the Word on Fire Bible. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here with 2 hours of open forum on Catholic Answers Live.